the rest of the story. Warren's friends and co-workers always knew he'd wind up, as they put it, in the nut house. He'd had a nervous breakdown, all right, but the sanitarium in which he found himself was scarcely an asylum. It was more a health spa, actually, a popular facility run by the innovative, slightly controversial Dr. John. And still, the doctor had assured Warren's worried family that his sanitarium was indeed the ideal place for the young man to recover. And so, 5 days after his 24th birthday, at the urging of his father, Warren checked himself into Dr. John's sanitarium. The new patient's introductory interview quickly revealed the rest of the story. He was a newspaper man, first of all, enough to drive anyone to distraction. His newspaper, The Star, had proved a formidable challenge from the day he became its editor and part owner in the town of Marion, Ohio. Warren personally researched and wrote all of the local news. He solicited and wrote the paper's advertisements. He even helped set the type and round up the delivery boys, and all this each and every day. Warren tormented and exhausted himself in the promotion of his publication. He even made sure that the names of every man, woman, and child in town would appear in this Star at least once a year. Well, to achieve his goals for the paper, he slept in his office. He ignored his personal needs. He published so close to the edge that he often wrote news stories straight into the print case. The only time the Star ever came close to missing a deadline was when Warren attempted to mend his only pair of trousers, so he promptly went back to neglecting himself for the good of the paper, he said. To shed stress, he chewed tobacco, and so furiously that he had to keep a brass cuspidor on his desk, and thus, with Warren at the helm, did the Star sail bravely through depression times and political turmoil and legal difficulties. But his newspaper's success carried a big price tag, an unaffordable one. For one day, the journalist who did everything could suddenly do nothing and found himself sitting, staring into space, or weeping for no apparent reason. And it was in this useless condition that Warren finally arrived at Dr. John's sanitarium. Friends in Marion, Ohio, expected never to see him again, at least not the vigorous, ambitious young man they had known. But the folks back home had underestimated the stuff of which he was made and the skill of the physician into whose care he had been entrusted. For after a few weeks, traveling Dr. John's personally prescribed road to health, Warren returned home with a rosy complexion, 20 pounds lighter, and raring to go. The Marion newspaper man was to visit Dr. John's sanitarium for recovery and refreshment 4 more times over the next dozen years, and each time he returned in better shape than the time before. Had these two men never met in the autumn of 1889, there's no telling what might have become of the overworked, overwrought journalist who slept in his office and set his own type, a determined but self-destructive newspaper man who instead went on to become President of the United States, Warren G. Harding. But all of the rest of his life, President Harding knew in his heart the profound significance of his cure in the care of Dr. John. Dr. John Kellogg of Battle Creek, Michigan, the physician who put the nation's future chief executive back in business by feeding him personally something he had concocted called cornflakes. And now you know the rest of the story.